You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chance for Kentucky. Shepherd got it! He hits it! There are no seconds left on the clock. Is that going to be it?
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
ESPN, courtesy of the call. It turned out that it wasn't. Reed is our shepherd. There is nothing that we shall want, except for winning our bets, which was really awesome because we bet Kentucky last night and they wanted the buzzer. And it was really, really, really great. Speaking of really great, we're going to have a really great guest joining us in just a second. The great Jay Billis from ESPN joins us here in a moment talking all things college basketball. Mike Gallagher from Establish the Run will join us talking NBA coming up in a little bit. Pete Prisco from CBS Sports in a couple hours, live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis talking National Football League. And we'll continue to break down last night's action and spinning it forward here with bets that we might want to place both on a night-to-night basis and in the good old futures market. But joining us right now is the great Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst on Twitter at Jay Billis. Jay, it's Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley. You better you bet. We sincerely appreciate the time. How's it going?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're good, Jay. I saw you tweet about Reed Shepherd, that shot we played coming out of break. Nick and I both watched that game, bet that game last night as Kentucky beat Mississippi State. And we were talking about this in the first segment of our show. The idea that Kentucky is actually, if you can believe it, the most bet team right now to win the national championship. So whether it's bettors or just, I feel like fans, people who follow the sport, everyone's starting to kind of fall for this Kentucky team and think they could make a deep run in the tournament. I'm curious, you watched the game last night, you've watched Kentucky a lot. How do you feel about them this year?
I think Kentucky is one of the best offensive teams in the country. They are short of that defensively. I think they're very, very good. But I don't put them on the same level as UConn, Purdue, Arizona, Houston. I think that's the top tier. But Kentucky, there's nobody out there they can't beat. I just think the universe of teams that can beat them is a little bit bigger because they don't defend consistently as well as the top contenders.
Jay, do you think Kentucky more likely to make a run at a national championship and make a Final Four, or more likely to like flame out early if its opponent, like you said, the universe of teams that can beat them might be pretty big given their defensive deficiencies here? Better chance Kentucky makes a run to the Final Four or flames out early in the tournament?
Well, those are two extremes. So, I would say more likely that they're good enough to make a Final Four. Now, could they slip on a banana peel in the first or second round? They've done that before. They did it last year, and they could do it again. But I think more likely to make a Final Four of those two extremes. I think their ceiling is a Final Four. I don't think I wouldn't put them among the teams I would expect to win it. But they're not. You know, if they play their best in every game, of course they can. But I wouldn't put it past them to get beat early. They're more likely than those teams I mentioned before to get beat early.
Jay, you mentioned your kind of first tier of teams that are the most likely to win the title. You mentioned, I think, you know, the projected 4-1 seeds right now, which like I would agree with, I think Nick would agree with too, UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Arizona. And the funny thing about two of those teams, especially Purdue and Arizona, is they're literally responsible for the two biggest seed upsets we had in the NCAA tournament last year. Purdue lost to a 16 seed, obviously. Arizona lost to Princeton, a 15 seed. So I think, you know, when people fill out their brackets, people who bet on the tournament, all of us collectively, we're going to kind of look and be like, is there something about these two teams that when it comes to tournament time, the game slows down, coaching, whatever it is, maybe there is a flaw there that we're just not going to see right now. And maybe it's something that shows itself in March. Do you believe in stuff like that with teams, or do you think maybe these are two safer teams to make it far than what we've seen?
I don't believe in that. I think every team, look, can go into a game and face a difficult matchup and get beat. You know, the one thing we know is that of the games played in the first round, half the teams are going to lose. So, you know, somebody's going to lose. But when you show that kind of high-level consistency during the course of the season, it's a pretty good indicator. I mean, you know, how do you square the fact that Kentucky lost to UNC Wilmington? They've lost to teams at home that they should have beaten when you talk about them being Final Four good. And that didn't happen. That hasn't happened with Purdue and Arizona. Those are different things. Now, I don't put it past any of these teams to get beat in a given game if they play lousy. But I tend to think that what you see in the regular season is what you're likely to see in the tournament.
Jay, something that I've struggled with, and you mentioned like the top tier of teams, right, with Houston, Purdue, UConn, and Arizona. Something I've struggled with when I'm thinking about who's going to win the national championship. Like, which team do I think is most likely, like, to penetrate that bubble, to, like, upend the apple cart and potentially be there if it's not going to be one of those four teams, like the four top teams, like the four projected one seeds right now in the NCAA tournament? I've kind of taken a little bit of a shine to Marquette. I like them tonight laying the points against Providence. If you had to pick a team, Jay, that you think is most likely to upend that apple cart outside of those top four teams, win the national championship, who would it be and why?
Well, it's a group of teams. I mean, I think Illinois is really good. Iowa State could do it. I agree with you that Marquette's an attractive team, as is Creighton. You know, Marquette, though, they run into a team that can really rebound and they're really difficult to deal with on the glass and can defend at a high level. That could cause them a problem in a given game. Like last year, they lost to Michigan State. Michigan State wasn't – they play a seven-game series. I don't know who wins, but Michigan State was a superior rebounding team, and that really hurt Marquette. You know, Marquette's strength is turnover margin. Like their turnover margin is like plus 5 point something. So that's where they're going to get extra possessions, is by turning teams over. Where they give up extra possessions is on the glass, because they're a smaller team that doesn't rebound as well as some of the other contenders out there. But once, you know, the tournament's kind of weird. Once some of the top teams in a particular region, if they wind up getting beat, that opens it up for a number of teams. Last year, Florida Atlantic, what I think was interesting about them, now Florida Atlantic was really good, but, you know, they were an egregiously bad turnover away by Memphis in their first round game from being out in the first round. Memphis doesn't turn the ball over there, which was a crazy bad turnover. Then we're not talking about Florida Atlantic last year. And in addition to that, they not only had that good fortune, they obviously played well enough to win, but that was really fortunate. Then they had the good fortune of Purdue getting beat right across from them, so they got to play Fairleigh Dickinson in the second round. And so there are things that can happen in the tournament that can open it up for a number of teams, because I don't know how many people are saying, hey, watch out for Florida Atlantic. We were talking about them as a team that could pull a first-round upset or something like that, but not necessarily as a Final Four team. And those are the kind of things that can happen to make it possible for – because it's funny, when you get put into a region, so say you're in the Midwest region, one of the things, you know, that you need to remind the players of is 75% of the best teams in the country aren't in that region. And really the tournament is just a series of four-team tournaments that you have to win. And you put a four-team tournament in front of a group of players, it's a hell of a lot easier to navigate than it is, hey, we got the 68 or 64-team tournament by the time you get to the first Thursday. That seems a lot more daunting. They look at the opposite side of the tournament, see all these good teams. You don't have to worry about that. Only one team's coming out of there. You don't play any of those teams except maybe one if you make it to Monday night.
Yeah, and to your point, Jay, I think, you know, Purdue obviously loses. That was Florida Atlantic's, like, next opponent. But I think, like, the two was Marquette. They lost early. Like, Tennessee, you know, beat Duke, and then Tennessee loses. It's like, so it's kind of like the way the bracket ended up breaking. You know, path is obviously really important. I think you make a great point there. I think still, like, what I try to do when I look at, you know, I didn't see Florida Atlantic play a lot last year, and so they get seeded, and, you know, we're all going to go by, like, maybe the one game we watched them or the couple games, or we can rely on people like you that have maybe see these these teams a few times and could give us some advice about just what you see when we don't have time to check out every single team in the country. There might be some teams we've never seen before. You know, Grand Canyon's a team that a couple people have told me about, for example, McNeese State, some of these teams that they might end up being that 11, 12 seed line. Maybe they win a couple games. Have you seen a couple teams that would fit that description where, yeah, they need a break, they need help maybe in terms of who's opposite them in the bracket, but you could see them winning a couple games, some smaller schools?
Well, yeah, you could see teams winning a couple games, but, you know, when you mention, I think you mentioned McNeese State. Who else did you mention?
Grand Canyon, I think, is a team that's been brought up to us.
Yeah. Grand Canyon's a good team, especially at home. You could see them winning a couple games. I don't see any of those teams getting there, or either of those teams getting past the second weekend. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible, but a lot has to happen for that to be the case. You know, most of the stuff you're looking for is what's a first round upset or a team that can make the Sweet 16 or something, or, you know, show me a team like you're saying Purdue last year that may be vulnerable that I don't want to pick, to go to the Final Four because it could screw up my bracket if they slip on a banana peel in the first or second round. Those are the things that you're looking for. There's usually a finite amount of teams that really have the ability to win this thing. And it may be, you know, if somebody falls down, it increases that a little bit. There's a difference between navigating a region and make it to the Final Four and winning the whole thing. Those are two different things. And I'm talking about teams that can win it, you know, because we wind up this time of year. I don't know when this happened, but we spent so much time talking about the bubble. Who's going to get in? Who's going to be left out? When the truth is, hardly any of those teams have a chance. And we spend less time talking about the best teams that have a legitimate shot to win this thing. Because in my mind, look, I get the brackets and all that stuff. It's great. I enjoy it too. But after I fill it out, I don't even look at it. I don't even care after I fill it out. I like the competition, see who's going to win the thing. To me, it's a national championship event. It's not about the bubble and some of these other things.
I was going to ask you about like your next four out after the first four out, but we can move on to other topics then. You better hear Nick and Ken on a Wednesday talking to the great Jay Billis from ESPN College Hoops here on the show on Twitter at Jay Billis. Jay, I want to ask you about BYU, a team that I've taken a shine to recently. Going into Kansas and winning last night, super impressive. I don't know if I like them as much as I like Marquette. I really like BYU here. So, Jay, is BYU a team for you that maybe, like, if things break right, could get to the Final Four, fall short of a national championship? What about BYU coming off of last night's upset win at Kansas?
Well, beating Kansas is significant, especially there. Kansas hasn't lost there in a long time, but Kansas didn't have Kevin McCullough either. And Kansas is a very shorthanded team. They've only got a few players they can really rely on. And you take out, you know, Kevin McCullough is the first team All-American. You know, you take him off Kansas's team and they're a hell of a lot easier to beat. And I'm about to say give BYU credit after I just took all the credit away from them. But they're very, very good, especially offensively. They play a five-out system. They've got a bunch of guys that can really shoot it. So if you allow them to get into some sort of offensive rhythm where they're banging shots down and you wind up chasing them, you know, Trevin Nell's one of the best shooters in the country, and Jackson Robinson's really good. Ali Khalifa can pass it. He's a big guy that can pull opposing big guys away from the basket. So they can really score. I don't think they're a great defensive team. And usually what winds up happening is teams that are Final Four national championship good are going to be ranked in the, you know, usually the top 25 of the offensive efficiency ratings. And they're going to be at least top 30, top 40 in defense. And BYU checks the box on offense, but they don't on defense. So that makes them a little bit vulnerable in talking about them as a Final Four team. But again, you know, bracket opens up, that changes a lot of things.
Jay, we only have about 30 seconds left. Just want to ask you about like the biggest game tonight in college basketball, which from a ranking standpoint and maybe standings in the conference is probably Tennessee hosting Auburn. They're kind of four or five teams that still have a chance to win the regular season SEC championship. These are two of them. Tennessee, a 7-point favorite, obviously home teams in the SEC play really well. A thought on that game and then maybe how you see the SEC shaking out the rest of the way, maybe who wins the regular season title here in about 30, 45 seconds?
Yeah, Tennessee's a better team, I think, but it's a close call. Auburn's lost, two of their last four. I was surprised that Kentucky kind of handled them pretty easy at Auburn. a week or two ago. We were there for game day, and I think the thought among our crew was, geez, I hope Kentucky stays in the game, because they didn't have Trey Mitchell with them, and they wound up winning by double digits and never trailed in the game. But Tennessee is an interesting team because they've got the best player in the league in Dalton Kinnick, which most people have never heard of when he played at Northern Colorado, and he's now a lottery pick probably. But Tennessee is really difficult to deal with on the defensive end, especially with Zakai Ziegler healthy now. He's really disruptive. Their issue is, you know, if they have an off offensive game, they could be had. But they're better offensively this year than they've been in a while. So I like them as the best team. They're playing at home. So I think they wind up winning the game tonight. But both those teams are going to be difficult because both of them can really guard. And Auburn's offensive numbers and their offensive performance is better than they look when you watch them play. They're actually pretty efficient.
Jay, 5 seconds to go here. Final question. What's the best Young Jeezy song?
My Hood.
That's a really good one. I would say his verse on Dano, which is, I'm in my cool whip, inside's jello, hop up out that, like, hello, is my favorite always. Jay, we appreciate it, man. You're awesome. Thank you very much for making the time. On Twitter, at Jay Billis. You will, of course, watch him on ESPN. Stay well. Enjoy the games tonight. We hope to do this again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jay Billis, we got to go to work. Yeah. Jay Billis loves Young Jeezy, which I absolutely
love. Yeah, every morning.
Yes. I'm in my cool whip, inside's jello, hop up out that pretty, like, hello. It's the best. Coming up next, the great Mike Gallagher joins us talking NBA here on a Wednesday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.